Time for the Israel Report, and Knan Lidor, Israeli journalist, in fact, award-winning Israeli journalist, is in the line to talk to us about what is making the news in Israel this afternoon. Shalom, Knan. It's been a while. Oops, and we've lost him. Craig will try get Knan back. In the meantime, maybe I should just tell you what is making the headlines in some of the Israeli newspapers today. Let me go to Yediot Acharonot. They start with EU designates Iran Revolutionary Guard as a terror group. I believe Knan is back. If that is the case, great to have you. And that's a good place to start. Did you hear that, Knan?
Yes. Hi. Good evening.
Great to have you with me. Let's perhaps start there. The fact that Yediot Acharonot is reporting that the EU designates Iran Revolutionary Guard as a terror group. How significant is that?
This has been, it's a crowning achievement of the Netanyahu government. They've been pushing for it since they actually came to power, as have Israeli governments before that. And it means it's just on the ground. It means a lot of money is going to be subtracted from the from Revolution Guard's budget.
Sorry, Knan, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, no, sorry, I thought I'd lost you there for a moment. All right, let me move over to the Times of Israel. Things definitely hotting up in the Middle East this afternoon. Apparently, IDF intel chief, as well as Saudi defense minister, they're in Washington, D.C. for talks with the U.S. on potential Iran strikes. And I just also want to read you just a headline coming out of the Jerusalem Post right this moment, talking about Tehran to convert metro stations, underground parking lots into war shelters as U.S. threat looms. So it certainly seems like the temperature is rising in the Middle East today.
Yes, and over here in Israel, we hear the war planes humming over us at basically all times. These are drills, one would assume. These are trainings by the Israeli Air Force. We're also seeing shelters open up and being ready here in Haifa. I'm seeing it just around my block. There's definitely a feeling that this is going to come to a head in the coming days, maybe hours.
Wow.
If it's going to come to a head.
At what point do you as Israelis kind of realize, okay, now things are serious? Is that when the Home Command issues its first instructions? Just historically, how have you known, okay, this is for real now?
Well, this time we're expecting, based on unnamed statements to the media, we're expecting to learn of the U.S. strike against Iran after it's already started. We're not going to get a warning in advance because that would alert the enemy. The Israeli army is going to get word a few hours beforehand, but is not going to pass down the message to the population. It's maybe going to share the information with a few key civilian instances, you know, like the head of the electricity company and the Israel Rails and so forth. So basically what that means is that we are sleeping in our clothes with the shoes next to the bed, because we know that we will be woken up to the war by the sirens of inbound rockets and missiles.
Wow, Knan, this is very sobering listening to you talk this afternoon. I hadn't realized that things had got to that point. The news sources are not kind of indicating that it's imminent. You know, they're talking about, here, the Times of Israel headline, Trump wants to create conditions for regime change in Iran, according to U.S. sources. They're not talking about imminent strikes.
But at the same time, Trump is saying we're building our forces up. We just saw the arrival of a special plane, whose model I forget, but the U.S. Air Force only has 10 of them. They arrived in the region. Basically, it's a relay station for radio comms. It basically can connect a platoon on the ground with the top command in Washington. So this is a very specialized weapon, or rather means, that have been transported to Israel, to the Middle East. It's not in Israel. So we haven't seen this before, and obviously it's not going to be advertised. We also know that Trump's style is to talk deals and then strike suddenly. It's a tactic he's used before to say, yeah, we're trying to reach for an understanding and then strike. So that's why here on the ground, those with their ears to the ground are sleeping with their clothes on.
Fascinating stuff this afternoon. Can I worry about the ballistic missiles? All of us have lots of friends and family and people we love and care for in Israel. Yesterday it was mentioned that should they be attacked, they will hit the center of Tel Aviv with ballistic missiles. Are they able to do so, or did the 12-day war deprive them of that capability to a significant extent?
They are absolutely able to do so. They have hundreds of those rockets and dozens of hypersonic rockets. Those rockets are very difficult to intercept because some of them, the advanced ones, change direction very suddenly near impact. So the tracking system would be locked onto them, but then they'll just change direction and land at a different target. We do have some new weapons in our arsenal. We have laser interceptors. Obviously, there's been a massive effort to restock and beef up the Iron Dome and the Arrow in the days following the 12-day war. It was clear that this could be just so we do have that working for us. It's not like in the early days versus Hezbollah where we were caught off guard, but yeah, definitely rockets are going to slam into Israel. It is worth mentioning that the projections before the showdown with Iran was for thousands of deaths and loss of internet and electricity for days, and none of that materialized in the end. A very small number of people died. Thousands had to leave their homes, and we're seeing the scars of the Iranian rockets still on our streets. But the damage that those missiles that can hit and probably will hit, the damage that they will cause is more limited and more livable than what we've been led to believe before.
In terms of Trump striking whichever targets it is that he plans to strike, would those ballistic missiles be his one of his primary targets on his list? I'm just thinking of this from an Israeli perspective. I mean, one would hope that would be the case.
Very unlikely. This is, sadly, of course, I'm sure, we're all sure that the hearts of the American people are with us as soon as the bombs start falling, but this is not a war objective. The war objective would be, there are a few scenarios. It could be just to deter the regime from cracking down on protesters, and so just singling out some symbolic system targets for the could be more serious than that, to actually try to disable some of the regime's bases, the besieged, the police, the ones that are doing the actual killing of the protesters. And of course, it could be an all-out conflict to destroy what's left of the Iranian nuclear program and to really affect regime change. There are voices here in Israel that are saying, kind of hedging our expectations, lowering our expectations, saying Trump is probably not going to go for regime change immediately. And that's true, but you have to remember that in its current situation, the worst it has ever experienced, the Iranian regime may not need an American campaign for regime change to topple it. It just may need that extra push to give the protesters and, let's be honest, the Mossad agents on the ground, in all probability, that are helping them fight the government, just give that extra push in order to achieve this regime change without a military campaign to actually do it.
Seems to me that the missing piece from what you've just said is the fact that there isn't apparently a unified, effective, consolidated opposition. Because I don't think Pahlavi is the guy to do it.
There isn't, but we have to also remember that there wasn't when the mullahs came to power, right? This was a hodgepodge coalition of liberals and Islamists and communists. So it's really a a matter of critical mass. Once that critical mass is achieved, the existing regime, the ancien regime, it falls. What follows is, as you pointed out, unknown. We don't know whether Reza Pahlavi will be the guy to take it forward. We don't know whether the successors will be other Islamists, perhaps more moderate, perhaps even more extreme. But we do know that we don't need this unity. We've seen from history, we don't need this unity to achieve regime change.
Final question for you this afternoon, Kanaan. Again, Times of Israel reporting that a senior Hamas official is saying, we never agreed to disarm. Nobody has raised this issue with us directly. For real?
Well, this is typical doublespeak for Hamas. This is how they do it. They say one thing, and then they retract it, and then the other more senior person says this doesn't count. We've seen it. It's also a tactic used by the Palestinian Authority. It's a feature, not a bug. But what is important to keep in mind here as we really approach the second phase of the deal of the ceasefire with Hamas is that Israel controls 54% of the Gaza Strip. We have troops on the ground there. And according to the deal, unless Trump tries to force our hand, but we have the deal now, we can keep those forces in as long as Hamas is not dismantled. Takes upon itself a huge price, because really, in the Middle East, especially, well, for our enemies, not in the Middle East, not for us, but for our enemies, the ultimate price is loss of land, according to the principle of sumud, of clinging to the land. And if you take away land, then you win. If you kill their people, not necessarily. That's just shaheed. These are martyrs. But if you take away their land, then this is a real painful a thing you've taken away. And so Hamas does have very powerful incentives to disarm if it doesn't want to lose half the Gaza Strip. This is the very difficult dilemma that Hamas is facing. We here in the West, we often forget this, and we're frustrated by this game that Hamas is playing with our emotions, with our hostages. But this is the reality for that group. It's really the two very, very difficult choices it needs to make, and either of them can work in Israel's favor.
Kanaan, we're going to leave it there. I want to wish you Shabbat Shalom, but in the very deepest sense of that word and that greeting, I hope it is a peaceful, quiet weekend. And please God, you won't need those clothes. Or maybe not. Maybe this is the opportunity that the work needs to be finished. I don't know. But in any event, thanks for talking to us this afternoon. As always, appreciate your time.